Hello, everyone. This is Martin Sable with BestHealthGuys.com, and I'm really thrilled to be able to introduce you to a new friend of mine by the name of Roger Carr. Roger, you doing okay tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Martin.
You and I met, God, I guess it's been about 6 weeks ago. Is that right, Roger?
I believe that's the case.
Because we were at that conference in Atlanta.
Yes.
And I've got to tell all of you that Roger made a really big impression on me. Not only is he one heck of a nice guy, but he has a remarkable ability to really bring out the best in people. He started an organization known as Everyday Giving, and I want to make sure all of you grab a pencil before we get too much into the interview, because you will want to write down some information he's going to give you. I'm going to make sure he gives you the web address for a couple of his websites in a few minutes, because you're going to want to visit him. He also has a free offer or two that I twisted his arm on. He's going to make them available towards the end of this broadcast, and you'll want to take advantage of them as well. A big reason I wanted to introduce you to Roger is because of how he opened my eyes to a part of me that I really didn't know was there. It helped me in a very significant and, frankly, a quite surprising way. What I learned from Roger is how easy it is for people who think they're too busy to volunteer to actually become an everyday philanthropist. It had a major impact on my life, and I wanted to introduce you to Roger because I think he will have a major impact on yours, and you'll find out why there's a good reason he's known as the mentor to the rich of heart. Roger, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us tonight, and I'm ready to dive in if you are. You ready to go?
I am, and with that kind of an introduction, I'm ready to listen to myself, I think.
Well, you'll learn something good because I did. Tell me, what inspired you to start Everyday Giving in the first place, Roger?
It's interesting. I have done volunteer work periodically throughout my life and have loved to help people. And at work, I do a lot of things that in my job, but what I found was that there was just a piece missing in my life that I just had to figure out what that was. And one of the things that I found was I really didn't have a purpose that in my life, as far as why I'm here and what I need to do. And so I really went through some soul searching. I went through and read lots of books and so on. But in the end, what I did was figured out the kind of things that I enjoyed, the kind of things that people talked to me about and said they were surprised at how easy some certain things came to me. I looked at things that I valued and so on, and started thinking about those and working those through my mind to figure out what do I, you know, some people talk about what do you want to be when you grow up.
Uh-huh.
That's really what I was trying to do, something that went just above and beyond a job. And I remember, this is plain as day, being out on a walk in the morning, and I was serious about this stuff. I actually carry around a digital voice recorder, which I still do, and just when I had ideas and things, capture those. And the idea of me helping other people that wanted to help other people, if that makes sense, came to me, and I said, you know what, that really is what I want to do. And so, and why I think that, you know, some of the things that I can contribute to significantly. And so as soon as that idea came in my mind just started racing. And I started thinking of things that I could do, and within a half hour of my walk, the idea of creating a company called Everyday Giving came to me. Some of the things that I wanted to do to help people all came to me, and it's just gone strong since.
Well, one of the things that I know is part of your purpose is to create a million new philanthropists to create a better world every day.
Absolutely.
That is a huge goal, and I don't know how you're going to keep a tally on that, but my guess is you're well on your way.
I am, and what people don't realize, when I say philanthropist, it might be a little bit different than they think about, but absolutely, I want to be able to create a million new people out there that are doing things on a regular basis to make the world a better place.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because it took me a long time to figure out how to spell philanthropist. And I'm glad I had a spell check on my machine. But let's get to a really basic question. What are you talking about when you talk about making somebody into an everyday philanthropist? What does that really mean?
I am truly talking about someone who is benevolent, who does things for the purpose of helping other people and making the world a better place. And so several of the things that you can do, certainly one of them is donate money, but there are certainly many, many other things that people can do to help other people, to help the world, that has nothing to do with actual dollars and cents.
Well, I know on your website you list 9 different ways for folks that they can, different methods, routes that they can give of themselves. And while I'm thinking about it, your web address is
www.everydaygiving.com.
Okay. And what I found that was surprising is that of the 9, only 2 of them were time and money.
Sure.
What other ways can people become what you call an everyday giver or an everyday philanthropist?
Well, one of the things that I did in creating this list, I truly went through and most of these, in fact, all of these, I captured based on things that I've done in the past. And so there's personal examples that I have in these different areas. But one of them is just giving your thanks.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, basically exactly what it says. If you go out of your way to thank people for things that they've done for you or things that they've done for other people, it is amazing the impact that you can have. And that is one simple way that you can do that. And it can be as simple as telling someone, but other things that I do, I actually carry around in my car or in my briefcase and so on. I always carry a pack of thank you notes. And if I'm sitting down and eating lunch and I just happen to be on my own or something like that, I'll actually think of people over the last day or few days that I just think, you know, did something for me or did something for someone else, and I will write them a thank you note.
And wait a minute. You'll thank somebody for something they did to somebody else?
Sure.
Like, can you give me an example of that?
There's several. I mean, if someone, you know, think of kids. If they went and did something for a neighbor, you know, say an elderly neighbor, went and mowed their lawn, and did it not for money but to help the person, they might may or may not get something for doing that from the individual, but if I want them to know the, you know, how much it meant for them to do that, there's nothing better than to for them to receive a note from someone else that they didn't even do it for to say, hey, thank you for doing that. You've made a difference.
And it really doesn't take much time to do that, and the power is so strong.
It doesn't, and I will tell you, handwritten notes aren't exactly something that is done on a frequent basis by most people these days with emails and other things.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly I would encourage, it's much better to send an email to someone to thank them for something than not doing anything at all.
Right.
But I can tell you, getting a letter, note in the mail that's handwritten, that says thank you for something and how much it meant to you, can have a very big impact, well beyond the time that it took you to write 3 or 4 sentences on a note and sign it.
So we've got giving thanks, time, and money. What are the others?
Giving your help. I talked about, you know, in that example of a teenager, say, that went and helped someone out by mowing their lawn. There are many people out there that could use your help. And just another example that's big on me, take a new parent or parents that have small children. If you've ever had children before and you're a new parent, you have a lot of sleepless nights. You don't get out of the house very often unless it's required and so on. Think about what you could do for that couple, say, if you went and just offered to babysit for them for a couple hours or for an evening to allow them to get out. it would mean a lot to them. It could protect their sanity in some cases. And
well,
so,
go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so offering your help to someone that needs it, you don't have to look very far to find people that could use your help in a variety of ways. And everyone has their own skills and things that they enjoy doing. And because you're helping someone doesn't mean that you have to be doing something that you don't like doing. There's many things that you can do that fit right into what you enjoy, and you can have the joy of doing it as well as the people that you're doing it for get the joy out of having it done for them.
So if somebody likes to bake bread, for example, and they can bake bread either as a thank you gift, they could bake bread and give it to a neighbor just because they want to do that. I guess if somebody's a car mechanic, they could help somebody next door.
Those are two great examples.
They could fix bikes. That's what you're talking about by helping.
Absolutely.
Interesting. What are some other ways that people can help? Because none of these really cost a whole lot of money.
No, they don't. And in many cases, the impact that you can have on people doesn't cost money. And if you think about what people have done for you in the past in your life and some of the things that have meant the most to you,
mm-hmm.
Most people will discover that a lot of those things that were done didn't cost the other individuals money or very little money. You just have to look across your life and understand that. So another item that's on, give your enthusiasm. There are things that you may be passionate about, and there may be people out there that just don't know about it. And there are, give someone a smile. Give someone an idea of things that you enjoy doing, and they may enjoy doing them with you. Enthusiasm is contagious. And so there's things that you can do to get people enthusiastic as well that also, certainly helps people and helps the world change for a little bit better. You've seen the commercials, for instance. When I say contagious, you may have seen some of the commercials where one person does one good thing, and then that person goes and then another situation does a good thing, and, it'll go on for 10 people.
Right.
Just because you put a smile on someone's face, they're looking for a way to put a smile on another person's face. Enthusiasm does that.
Remarkable idea. And I know you've got several others on the website, and I want to encourage people to go visit the website because it's not only is it beautifully laid out, it's an inspiration. And I think that we can leave a little bit of a mystery and let folks go take a look at the other five or six that we haven't covered because I think that is going to be very helpful to people as well. Now, we've already touched on one of the other questions I had, and that is what amount of time would someone have to give to make a difference?
Yes. It takes very little time. Certainly, the more time that you can devote to something like that, the better. But I've heard from many people, even in the last year or so, many people that just don't feel that giving an hour, half hour a week or something like that, that they can do much. And so they basically decide in their minds that they're not going to do anything. And one of the things that I encourage people to do, just like I had talked about a little bit here just a minute ago, was think over your life. Think about all of the different points in your life where someone made a difference to you. And if you go and you put that list together, what most people will find is that there is one or more examples, usually many examples, in their own lives where people were able to make a difference and sometimes make a significant impact in their life by just encouraging someone, saying something to someone, doing something for someone that only took a very few minutes. And so if you look over that and over your life and you can see that there are people that have done that for you, then think about what you can do for other people because it's no different.
Let me try to bring that into something concrete because I understand what you're saying, but I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around it.
Okay.
one of the things that happened to me is you sent me a pre-release copy of one of your books called Wake Up and Make a Difference.
Yes.
And you remember I sent you back a letter about that because it really motivated and inspired me in a way that I really didn't think I would ever be inspired.
Sure.
Because, you know, I work 60 to 70 hours a week, and I'm not bragging to anybody. I'm not complaining. It's just the way my life is. I've got my day-to-day business. Of course, I've got my internet stuff that I'm doing, and it takes a lot of time. And after reading that book, I realized that I can leverage the 3,000 people or so that I have on a mailing list in my office and use that for positive good for some organizations that I'm interested in. And it's really simple. It doesn't take me a whole lot of time to do that. I've got, in my case, a staff person that I'm going to have look at that and make a couple of changes. And then I'm going to create a couple of letters, and I'm going to do some fundraising for the Alzheimer's Association here.
Sure.
And it didn't take any time for me to come up with that idea. All I did was look at your book and think, gee, you know, I'm interested in helping folks that are dealing with Alzheimer's because it's a devastating disease, and I wanted to find a way to do that. But I don't have enough time to volunteer, but I can spend a few minutes at work putting together a way to contact the people that already, you know and like us, and hopefully either get some donations and also maybe get some volunteers for them.
Sure.
So that was, you know, my idea, and if that helps people that are listening, that is terrific, because it really doesn't take much, and I didn't think I had time to do any of that kind of stuff. Lo and behold, I found I did.
Yeah. Well, your example is a real good one. There's people that have asked me even about some of my volunteer work about, well, how did you get involved in that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, as you just kind of alluded to, sometimes it's just a matter of picking up a telephone and calling, say, a charity or nonprofit organization that's involved in the area that you're passionate about. And they'll help you figure out, you know, how to fit into their program and so on, and being able to contribute without having to spend hours and hours and hours a week supporting them. They're very excited. Many of these organizations are very excited to get any of your time, whether it's just a one-time thing or whether it's spread out, you know, year after year. And so, you know, sometimes it's just a matter of deciding you want to do something and picking up a telephone or sending off a note saying, hey, I'm interested in helping.
And most people are here we're talking about formal organizations. This isn't helping your next-door neighbor.
No.
Yeah, this is actually doing something that I would call volunteering.
Yes.
Okay. Now, are there some things that you – some mistakes that you see that people make when they volunteer? I mean, what steps or tips can you offer so that they avoid those kind of problems?
Well, and you're absolutely right. There are some things that you do want to avoid because you want to get involved in something that is going to contribute and you're going to do over the long haul and it be a positive experience. And so different organizations, just like different companies, have their own personalities and so on. And so you want to get and fit within an organization that fits your style and personality. And that's one of the things that you can look at as you talk to them. And even if you do, say you agree to do a small thing with them, you know, test them out. Make sure that they have the same ethics and so on as you. The other thing is don't always take what they say as far as the amount of time it'll take to do something at kind of at face value, that you actually hear what they say that they would like done and put your own idea on how long it'll take to do that, because some organizations are real good about estimating the time it'll take and are very honest about it. In the other case, I won't say they're not honest, but in some cases, there are organizations that are scared that people won't sign up if it's, you know, they say it's going to take so much time, and so sometimes they say, well, it'll take an hour when it might take 6 hours. And so you just need to be careful when make sure that what they're telling you as far as time that it will take to do the work that they've described, that you put make sure that time is realistic.
I guess a lot of that depends on how much knowledge you have about the job they're asking you to do.
It is, and actually one of the benefits, if you want, with volunteering is actually learning new skills. And in those cases, you're right. It's more difficult to estimate what it'll take to do it, but at the same time, you're getting something out of it, whether it's for work or just your own personal growth. Volunteering is a great way to discover new skills that you can use in the future.
So what I hear, the image that I conjured up in my mind is it's kind of like trying on a pair of shoes.
Yes.
Yeah, you walk around and when you slip on some shoes, you walk around in the store to make sure they fit well. And I don't know about you or the folks that are listening, but I'll take them back to the house, and before I'll take them outside, I'll walk around the house with them for a day or so to make sure that they feel comfortable. And if they don't, I usually take them back and get a different pair.
You got it.
The same sort of thing.
Yes.
So make sure the shoes fit.
Yes.
Make sure the charity fits.
Yes.
Okay, makes sense. Now, what do you see as being the biggest mistake that people make when they start volunteering?
I would say that probably one of the biggest mistakes is they get involved potentially for the wrong reasons. When you volunteer for something, you might be doing it because you just got stirred up because of some story someone told you. And what happens is that you get all excited and you get motivated and you jump into this, and then you find out, maybe it wasn't quite what you expected or wanted or whatever, and you really didn't have a passion for it. You just jumped in with both feet. You signed up to do a lot of things, and then you got partway into it, and now you've got a kind of a commitment to the organization, but yet at the same time, you don't necessarily want to be putting quite that much time into something that you're finding out may not be quite what you wanted in the first place. And so that's one of the reasons that I say, and what you were just describing, kind of dip your toe in the water. Get in there, check it out, do something small for them. And if the organization fits you and you've got that passion and you want to keep driving, then by all means, jump in with both feet and keep going.
Well, I think that's a really good piece of advice, because I can understand how somebody would get all excited and overcommit themselves and feel trapped and then feel upset with themselves because they feel like they can't get out of something they got themselves into, when they really wanted to do it out of a sense of helping and wanting to benefit folks, and then they don't volunteer again.
Right.
Okay. Have you seen that?
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that I want to prevent, because I want this to be a good experience for people. Or even if it winds up not being a great experience, you don't have a lot invested, so you have no problem trying out another organization or another area and keep going. Because from my standpoint, when you talk about being a philanthropist, you're talking about a long-term thing. It's not just a one-time, I'm excited, I'm going to do one thing, and then that's it. It's really a long-term goal to make a difference.
So it really becomes a way of life and a way of living.
It is.
Okay,
and I would certainly expect, when I talk about a million philanthropists, I'm not talking about a million people that donate an hour next week and then that's it. They truly ought to be looking at it with a long-term objective of making a difference and continually doing something over time. And certainly different people are going to have different levels of commitment. They're going to have different ways that they're going to be able to give back. But it really ought to be with a longer-term idea of making a difference.
I know that you had created a report called 9 Questions to Consider Before Volunteering. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
How do folks get a hold of that?
If you go to everydaygiving.com, which is the website for the company, Everyday Giving, on the page, any page that you go to, all you have to do is put in an email address and your first name, just for me to be able to deliver that report to you in your email.
Right.
And you'll be able to read that. And it certainly will give you the information like I've been talking about, but several other questions to ask as you get involved in volunteering.
Yeah, I found it opened my eyes because there were a couple of ideas in there that I hadn't thought about, and we've covered a couple of them tonight, but I want to make sure people get a hold of that. So it's called 9 Questions to Consider Before Volunteering.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a really handy little piece of, I guess, it's part of your everyday giving series, right?
It is, and I've had several, I say several, I've had many people say that it's given them ideas and things that they hadn't considered before or need to consider. I wanted to do that, but I also, even though it says, 9 questions to consider before volunteering, I'm really looking at it as a way of encouraging people to try out volunteering and get involved in it if that makes sense for them.
Well, I mean, what I hear you telling me is just that this is the first step for somebody who wants to put their toe in the water.
It absolutely is.
Great idea. Now, we've been talking about individual volunteers so far tonight, Roger, but what are some ways that small businesses can give?
Oh, businesses can give in many ways. If anybody that's listening to this has been involved in fundraising, for instance, businesses can contribute to those organizations in fundraisers, for instance. And it doesn't just have to be money that they give. They can be giving services. If they've got employees that are willing to come together as a company team, they can go off and do service projects. They can go off and support fundraising. And then on top of it, certainly they can be giving money or products and so on that these different organizations could use.
Well, one of the concerns that I have is that the boss comes in and says, okay, guys, guess what? We're going to go put together a house for Habitat for Humanity this weekend so everybody show up. I mean, I can see where that would cause some grumbling in the ranks. What would be the best way to approach that?
Well, I wished I could say that doesn't happen, but I do know of cases where people's jobs actually require them to do service projects or spend time, in community service.
Right.
That's, you can call it volunteering, but when the person is forced to do it, I don't necessarily call it volunteering. But at the same time, many of the companies, even though that can happen, there are many companies out there that make opportunities available, and they have many employees, it may not be all of their employees, but have many employees that will come together around a cause. And it can have so many benefits for the company because you're fostering teamwork. The people that are working for you feel better about the company because the company, in addition to maybe making a profit, is also giving back to the same communities that these people live in or are giving back to organizations that are involved in health-related or environmental-related areas. And so there's things like that the company gets benefits out of it by doing these kind of things.
So if I've got 15 employees and I think it's important to develop a sense of community with my staff, how would I go about what would be the best way for me to go about getting them involved so that they really do want to contribute and they don't feel like I'm holding their job over their heads?
Well, personally, I think one of the first things you can do is actually poll your employees and find out what they're passionate about. And if you can find areas where you have a group of them that are passionate in a certain area, then that already gives you a target area to work in. To get them to start working together. And even if everyone isn't passionate about that one subject, you'll find that if one individual is passionate about it and they have workers around them that they deal with on a daily basis, just like I talked about, you can give your enthusiasm to people.
Yeah.
That employee, by getting involved in it and wanting to do it and considering it very important, their passion for that can start rubbing off on the other people around them, so they can get passionate about it, at least from the standpoint of they want to help that employee and what they want done. And so you still wind up with this teamwork and a good group of people that can go off and support those kind of things.
And by, I guess it could be issues-oriented, it could be disease-oriented, it could be whatever.
Whatever. You pick it. If it is, if it's supportive of, you know, helping people's lives, helping the environment, those kind of things, you are making a contribution that people are going to see is good. And you just don't want to do it for the sake of, for the purpose of benefiting your company. Those benefits will come, but they're secondary to actually doing it for the benefit of the community, the benefit of the people in your organization, and so on.
Sure. Well, I also know that you contributed to a wonderful book called 101 Great Ways to Improve Your Life. And there were some, you had some pretty good company on that book, Roger. You had some terrific, some of the best motivators that I know of during our time, guys like Zig Ziglar and Rick Beneteau and Brian Tracy and Joe Vitale. When I saw that you were part of that, you know, I was curious to see what it was. And then when I read the information about the book, I was so excited that I went out and bought a copy for myself as soon as I could. I mean, I just downloaded it immediately and ordered the thing. How can that book help our listeners become an everyday philanthropist or improve their everyday giving? What do you see as the value that that book would have for somebody?
Well, what was exciting about being a part of that book, and certainly some of the people that I've got books and tapes on and so on are authors in there as well, but that book covers a variety of topics. And things about giving back, mine, the section that I wrote is on volunteering and how volunteering actually can help you be more successful. But there are a variety of topics in there. And if you are ever going to go off and study, you know, and find out some, you know, some of the big secrets and tips that some of these big name folks have that are in the self-help area, it would cost you a lot of money. And what they've done is they've actually pulled together some of the best pieces from these different individuals, 101 of the experts in the area, and actually pulled them all together in one book. And I've heard from several people that are excited because these are not things that you're going to read for, you know, days and days and days. Each person has contributed a section in there that you can read in a fairly short period of time, but you can get a huge insight into something that you can actually apply to your life and make a big difference in a short period of time. And you can get all that from the one book.
What I picked up from what you just said is that it can build that enthusiasm in you. It can help you find a purpose. It can help you identify those areas in your life that you'd like to contribute to, much like you took your long walks with your digital recorder and realized that you wanted to create a million new everyday philanthropists.
It absolutely can, and there's even sections in there. If you're going through some tough times and so on, there's some areas on recovery in different areas and so on. So it has a variety of areas that can help, and even the person that pulled it all together for us, in his introduction in the book, talks about the fact that there's 101 sections in this book and topics that are covered. All of them may not apply to every person that reads it, but if you can take out of those 101 areas several pieces that directly apply to you and you apply them to your life, it is going to have a huge impact. And so it isn't so much that you have to apply every single item that's in there, but find the ones that you think are most applicable to you and work on those areas. And, you know, the actual book itself and what it takes to get it will be minuscule in comparison to the things that it'll do for you.
You know, in light of the conversation we're having, the thought that occurred to me is that if I'm reading that book, I can have two perspectives. One is, how can it help me? And the other is, how can it help somebody else? And my guess is that there'll be chapters in there or contributions by some of these wonderful authors that won't apply necessarily to me, but might apply to my son or one of my folks at work or one of my colleagues that I could share with them. And that would be a way that we could add to your million people.
That is absolutely true.
I'm helping you any way I can, Rog.
Hey, I appreciate it. That is really the genesis of everything that's going on here. The idea behind Everyday Giving is to get the word out, encourage people to do the right thing, but also for them to encourage others. I mean, I can't. It would be difficult for me to talk individually to a million people and do this, but with everyone getting on board that sees the website and that gets the materials, gets excited about it, if they share what they've learned with other people, we can definitely bring in a million people that are contributing because of some of the things that we're trying to do here and with Everyday Giving.
I can imagine it would make one heck of a change in the planet we're living on, too.
It absolutely will.
Now, before we sign off, why don't you give the website address where they can pick up 101 Great Ways to Improve Your Life?
Okay. The website that you can go to for that, there is a link on the main page on everydaygiving.com.
Okay.
But there is a website specifically set up that I've set up for that book, and it's called 101 Great Ways Books, and that's plural. So it's 101 Great Ways Books.com.
That's Ways, W-A-Y-S.
W-A-Y-S.
Okay. And your web address is everydaygiving.com.
Yes.
Great. I got to tell you, Roger, every time I talk to you, you're an inspiration to me. You've been that again tonight. I can't tell you enough how much respect I have for what you've done and what you will be doing to make this a much better place to live in. Now, before we sign off, is there a way that our listeners can get in touch with you if they have some specific questions about either fundraising or caregiving? I mean, giving care. See, because I'm in the caregiving side, that's what I'm thinking about. Or being an everyday giver, is there
absolutely
get in touch with you?
For you and the listeners of this, I'll give you my personal email address. How does that sound?
That's terrific.
It's Roger, R-O-G-E-R, at everydaygiving.com.
Well,
and
that's super.
And I love hearing from people, and it doesn't have to be a question. If some of the things that we're doing has helped, I love hearing that. If you've got some ideas on how to give that I haven't captured anything, there are people that give me some very unique ideas and so on that I can get out to other people. So any of those reasons, give me an email and let me know. I'd love to hear from.
So that's Roger at everydaygiving.com.
Yes.
Well, I appreciate it, Rog. Thanks a whole bunch, and look forward to talking to you again real soon.
I've enjoyed it. Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.